to just spend hopefully a few minutes inspiring you with the Word of God. But before I do, I'm going to pray. So, Father God, I just thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy this day. May you just use the words of my mouth, Lord. May you fill my heart and my mind full of power and grace as a blessing to myself and to all those that hear it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I just want to spend a few minutes. It's kind of a thought of some of us maybe thinking about diets. And now, I don't know if you're one of them. Some of you might already be dieting, I don't know. But usually at this time of year, we start to think about the new year. We start to try and set our minds and souls up. And that includes our body as well. Which is great, you know, we have been given a body and we should try our best to look after it in all things. I've started to try do a few more exercise. My brain is saying yes, my knees are saying no, but I'll leave that there. But when we come to think about faith and our spiritual health, sometimes that can get neglected. That it's a kind of an afterthought. And I want to spend a few minutes this morning just thinking about the new year and also our spiritual health. How are we doing spiritually? And the question I want to pose to you this morning is, are you surviving, are you thriving? Are you surviving, or are you thriving? I don't know how you would answer that this morning. Some of you may feel like, yes, I am thriving, I'm feeling good, I've had a good Christmas, I feel that I'm hearing from God, I'm spending time with God, I feel that I know what I'm stepping into next year. But for others, we might feel like, I'm just hanging on to the coattails. There's been a big rush of Christmas. There's still things that I would like to get sorted that haven't. It may be a physical thing. It may be an external thing. It could be a financial thing. It could be a thousand things, couldn't it? But we are covered by the amazing love of God. And the way the love of God covers us, or one of the ways he covers us, is through grace. So are you surviving, or are you thriving in grace? And I want to unpack what this means. Now, there's many ways of talking about grace. And how would some of you describe grace? Just for a bit of audience participation, to help me to know that you are listening. Thank you. That's very good. I'll be using that acronym later on. Let's hear it again.
God's riches at Christ's expense.
God's riches at Christ's expense. She's already seen some of my sermon notes. Well done. 10 points. Don't know what that means, but anything. How else would anyone describe grace? You don't have to use any spiritual or clever saying. Just how would you describe grace? Sorry. What? I will get to you.
A free gift of undeserved love and protection.
A free gift of undeserved love and protection. Again, 10 points. You've been looking at my notes. Roberta.
Unmerited favour.
Again? Yeah, I don't know why I bother writing notes, really. This is really good. This is anything else. There's no wrong or right answer. I'm not going to hit you on the head and say no. No. So we have some understanding of grace. But let me just read from John chapter 1, verse 16. And it says this, it's a very simple verse. Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. So this is in the Good News version. I'm not particularly a big fan of the Good News version, I must admit. But in other versions, it says, we have all been given grace, and Jesus Christ has given us more grace, grace upon grace. So what does that mean? What does that actually look like? Now, grace upon grace. We've all been given grace, but then is grace upon grace. And I just want to kind of unpack this a little this morning. So grace, according to the Baker's Dictionary of Theology, grace is the word used to describe God's commitment to us. So grace is a commitment from God to us, everyone. Doesn't matter if you believe or not, God's grace is his commitment to us. This is where it says in John chapter 1, verse 16, that all of us have been given grace. All of us. Doesn't matter whether you acknowledge him or not, we've all been given grace. So grace is also a manifestation of God's love. It's an outworking. It looks like something. It feels like something. It's almost tangible. It's free. Completely free. No PayPal needed. And I'm sure most of you have hit your PayPal over the last few weeks with your Amazon orders and that. This is free. No order needed. It's given. It's there. Like it or not, love it or not, acknowledge it or not, it's free. It's there. It's unmerited favor towards those who are undeserving of it. We do not earn it or deserve it. Grace is a free gift. So the theologians have looked at this, and this is where the English language, I feel, kind of lets down trying to describe something like grace. And how can our language really sum up who God is and what God is and what grace is? But here's the language that they use. So they described as a blessing to all as common grace. Common grace is seen in the gifts that God has given to all men or women. Doesn't matter about their spiritual position. Common grace is given to all things. For example, life. Life itself, the very breath that we breathe in, is a gift from God that is out of his grace. The planet was born out of God's grace. It is sustained in God's grace. Health is a common blessing of grace. Strength, special skills. Whether you know God or not, God has placed special skills into certain people. It's part of his grace. The easiest way to think about this is our leaders. Our leaders, we hope, will have some relationship with the living God, the one where all grace flows. But we know, Mr. Donald Trump, that we could question it. Or even our own leader, Boris. Now, we shouldn't really question people's faith, but it doesn't matter in this context, that when we're looking at common grace, God gives us life, he gives us health, he gives us strength, and he gives us special abilities. And that grace of God means that we should pray for these people, particularly our leaders, but acknowledge that God's grace is always present. You do not need to know Jesus to receive his grace. His grace is already there. It has been since the beginning of time and before that. Common grace covers the nations, communities, families, and individuals who all benefit from it. If we're breathing, we're alive, we're benefiting from his grace. He doesn't have to give us air. He doesn't have to give us a planet. He doesn't have to give us food. He doesn't have to give us resources. But he chooses to. God caused the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. Matthew 5, verse 45. And this kind of sums up what the theologians are looking at about this common grace. He says, it don't matter what you think about a person. They are covered by God's grace because he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, the saved and the unsaved. His rain falls on everyone. He provides for everyone out of his grace. Are you with me? Excellent. So if there's common grace that falls upon everyone, let me just move this out of the way, then what's the other blessing? What's the blessing of grace upon grace? What is it? Well, the theologians describe it as saving grace. So we've got common grace, that's for everyone. But if you know Jesus Christ, you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then you step into grace upon grace, which is saving grace. Saving grace is the perfection of God's character that is exercised only towards those that he has chosen to love before the foundation of the world. This is a quotation from Ephesians 1:14. That God has his chosen ones. He chooses people. He seeks certain people out. Why doesn't he seek everyone out? I don't know, I'm not God. But I do know that God desires for all people to come to him. I do know that. But I also know that God is already ordained. He specifically said before the beginning of the time, you are mine. I'm going to come after you. I'm going to win you over. My son's blood has already won you into this saving grace. Saving grace is unmerited blessings of forgiveness that is received. So it's unmerited. You can't merit it. You can't just say that's what it is. It's unmerited. It's ultimate. It's beyond just life. It's more than that. It's eternal life. It's beyond health. It's beyond what our thinking of what health should look like. It's more than that. It's more than strength. It's more. It's unmerited. It's a free gift that is given, not by our working, but our believing. So we don't work to get this saving grace. We just believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he came to earth, he lived, he died, and he rose again. And we turn to him and say, I believe you came to set things right. I believe that you are the way back for me to see and sit with God. I believe. This grace does not come to us by works. We don't earn it through church activities or attendance or just being kind. That might be an outpouring of the grace that you receive, but you can't get grace by doing these things. You won't get more grace by working harder. It's there. It's given. It's free. It's bestowed upon you because you have chosen to believe. What do you believe this morning? Do you believe you work in grace? That you live under this saving grace? Are you thriving in that saving grace? Or do you feel like you're surviving under common grace? You're just existing. Just happy just to breathe your next breath. No real hope for anything beyond that. I think these are questions that are worth asking. Particularly for me at this time of year, I must admit I feel like I'm just surviving. I'm just holding on. I don't really feel like I am thriving in this saving grace that God has given to me. I'm not saying that it's not working. I just don't feel it. just hanging on. Saving grace is a special dispensation of grace that allows us to have a relationship with God. A relationship with the living God. That's what saving grace gives us. We get to not only speak to Him, but we get to hear His voice. We also get full access to the kingdom of heaven. We get full access. It's like the door's always open. We've got the keys to the kingdom. When you believe in Jesus Christ and you receive this saving grace, you can come in and out of heaven. It's a free house. Well, actually, it's a bit more than that. Because when you receive saving grace, actually, you start to live from heaven. Your spiritual life is actually set in heaven, and you start to live not just from earth trying to get to heaven. You're already in heaven. If you believe in Jesus Christ, He says that there is many rooms, and all that will come to me, I will gather up. I will gather up the lost souls. We are residents of heaven this morning. That is who we are. That is where we are. Do you feel like you are sitting amongst heavenly hosts? No. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. We also, if we receive saving grace, we receive power and authority in the name of Jesus. We have power and authority in the name of Jesus. What does that mean for us? We don't have to accept the circumstances. We have a higher hope. We can just lie down and say, all right, it's just common grace. If it rains on me, great. If it doesn't, I don't know. That's not what Jesus came to do. Anyone and everyone has that. He's given you saving grace. So I said, Jesus says, no. In my name, you will be able to take authority over things. I will give you hope. I will give you strength. I'll give you the ability to see healings in my name. I'll give you visions and dreams. I will give you a plan and a purpose. I will rebuild you from inside out. I will place you right in the throne room of God in heaven, where there is no brokenness. All this I've given to you. And as Dean has already wonderfully quoted, this is all summed up, this saving grace, in the acronym of GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. The richness. I can't spend enough time talking about the vastness and the richness of Jesus and who He is and what He has given to you if you say yes to Him. There isn't enough words, and there is definitely not enough knowledge in me to try and describe that. But believe me when I say, if you have said yes to Jesus, you are living under saving grace. You are a resident of heaven. You have power and authority over your life and over other things of this world. But are you surviving or thriving? If you believe in Jesus, you have this saving grace. So if you feel like you're just surviving, well, what is that? Why is it when you look at certain Christian people, they just seem to have more of God? When you read the Bible, it's like, why do these certain people seem to experience God's word more than me, or see more miracles, or feel His presence more, or able to do more than I feel? And I think the answer is quite simple, is that when we first get saved, and if you have received Jesus at any part of your life, you remember when you first met the living God, because something changed inside you. It might, for some of you, it might have been just like a fridge that was lifted off your shoulders. The weight of the world was taken off and you just felt lighter. Some of you might have felt an inpouring something like peace. You might have just felt, I'm happy and I can't explain it. Or I just feel really, really good. Some of you might have got hot. Your heart might have started pounding. Some of you might have seen more things. It's different for everyone else, but what is the same is the saving grace. And then we go through that honeymoon period, don't we? Where you just feel, this new life and your eyes have been opened, the scales are off your eyes, and you finally think, yes, this is it. I've received what I've been looking for. That kind of God-shaped hole that was trying to fill with things, material stuff, drugs and acknowledgement or food or whatever it is. He's actually felt for the first time in your life that hole was filled. It was filled by his saving grace. And that looks like so many things. And then the years go by and we only seem to have moments of saving grace where we can feel that authority, where we feel like, yes, I am placed in heaven, that I'm hearing and proclaiming Jesus' name. I think what happens is just up here in our minds, that when we go into survival mode, we go back to our old way. And the old way was common grace. Now, there's nothing wrong with that because grace is grace. There's one God and one grace. So I'm not trying to departmentalize who God is, but it's more, I think, about our mental state. How we view ourselves, how we spend our time, what are we investing in? And I think for a lot of us, and I'm guilty of this too, I go into common grace. I'm still in saving grace, but what I do mentally, I kind of just block it out and I'm just surviving. So if it rains on me today, great. But I'm not standing in the place of saving grace where I'm taking authority over the situation, where I'm declaring, no, I am a resident of heaven. I am part of God's kingdom. I am here to inherit God's riches because he has adopted me as a son. Now, I'm sure if the Queen came in here today and said, whatever you think about, I'm adopting you lot, so you're now going to be my heirs and you will be called prince and princesses, you'll all be rubbing your hands together, wouldn't you? You'd be thinking of horses and chariots and fine dining and clothes and maybe to have influence in different areas of society. Whether you liked her or not, it doesn't matter. But you would, wouldn't you? Of course you would. You would. If she says, you are now a princess, you would. Your mind, it's a bit like winning the lottery. Your mind would start, oh, I could do this, I could do that. It's the same, if not more, when we think about Jesus, who holds all things together. But our mind drifts from that, doesn't it? Or is it just me? I don't think it is. When I look upon like spiritual heroes, even those that are alive today, like, has anyone heard of Jackie Pullinger? She's an amazing woman, isn't she? She doesn't have anything that I haven't received. She has received saving grace. I have received saving grace. So why does she seem so much better? Because she lives consciously from saving grace. She's done it so much that common grace is not her default anymore. Her default is saving grace. And all that it means. So this year, I want to encourage us to start thinking about our position and what and who we are. But how are we going to do that? And here's your New Year's resolution idea from Gavin. There's three things that I think will help us and our mind not to drift into common grace, but maintain our saving grace position. And it's prayer, worship, and devotion to his word. That's it. Prayer, worship, and devotion to his word. I know from personal experience, when I make that conscious choice every day to pray, to worship, and spend time in his word, that things start looking a lot better for me. It's not a silver bullet, it just makes all your problems go away. I'm not saying that. But I feel more alive. I feel sharper. I feel connected. I feel that no matter what is being thrown at me, I know the direction that I'm coming from. I actually start to walk in the authority of saving grace. Who would like to walk in that authority of saving grace? I would. I don't want to be blown by the wind anymore. I want to stand firm for Christ. And this is what I see in these spiritual heroes, that they've just got into a habit of doing it. So no matter what, they know who they are. They work out of the authority that they have been given and we have been given if we said yes to Jesus. Prayer, worship, and word. That's it. Simple as. So what I am going to do, and what I'm going to suggest to all of us, is that out of 24 hours in my day, I'm going to give 15 minutes to each of these things. Just 15 minutes. So 15 minutes of worship. That's three songs. Three songs which you could do in the morning. Because I don't know about you, but I need at least two cups of tea before things start working. It might be something else for you. But I've got a phone. I've got a radio. I can put Premier Radio on. There's no excuse for me not to listen to worship. What's your excuse? You haven't got one, have you? You could try. Or we could try and say, yeah, actually, I'm going to start my day off. It might be different for you, but I'm going to start my day off just listening to three songs. What songs, you may ask? Doesn't matter. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Or just pick the songs that you like, or songs that God has put on your heart, or some songs that challenge you, or take you to somewhere else, like in his presence somewhere else. Listen to them. It could be three different songs every day. I'm going to stick to the three songs and listen to them day in, day out for a whole week until I understand every word. I can almost breathe as the singer is breathing. I want to get that connected. I want to not just get the pleasure of the sound of the music and the style because it pleases my soul. I want to understand the words and why they're written and what they're trying to say and what that means to me when I pour out my heart to Jesus. What do I want to worship him for? What do I want to give thanks for? What do I want to declare for? So that's 15 minutes, three songs. Easy, yeah? Yeah. Prayer. 15 minutes. Now you might think, I don't know what to pray for. What's the kind of common way of praying to God? Some of us might have been taught this. Sorry? The Lord's Prayer? Yep. If you're lost, just read the Lord's Prayer for 15 minutes. line by line, let it sink, or a couple of lines, or read it through and ask God to speak to you, or pray and then maybe you want to stop and say, well, I just ask that you bless me this morning, God, our Father who art in heaven. Lord, will you bless my neighbour? I know they've been struggling. I take authority in the name of Jesus, who art in heaven. That's a simple way of doing it. Or the other way is say, just thank you, God. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you that you have saved me. Thank you that I have hope and purpose and plans. Lord, will you bless me? Will you bless others as I seek your kingdom? It could be as simple as that, 15 minutes. And then word. There's different ways of engaging with God's word. The first one is obviously the Bible. But we're not limited to it anymore. We don't live in a society where it's just like, if you don't own a Bible, that's it. Word for today. Brilliant resource. Where someone has done all the work for you. And it's surprising how many people said, I've read the word today, and it was just like it was written for me. Who's experienced that? More than once. Brilliant resource. One of my things I like to do is listen to it audibly. You've got apps on your phone, you can go on YouTube. There's no excuse, really. Or reading a Bible commentary alongside your Bible. Or a Christian book that helps you understand more of God's word through other people's experience. Feed your soul. 15 minutes. That's all it takes. But I wanted to try and do it all at once. I do 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, and 15 minutes in the evening. And I promise you, if you stick to that, you will hunger for more. Because things will start to come alive. Things will start to make sense as you invest your time and actually step away from this common grace. I'm just hope it rains rather than, right, I'm here, God. Pour it out. Pour it out in the name of Jesus. And I think that's it. I think it's simple as that. When I look at giants of faith, I think that's all they do and they maintain. Nothing else. They don't live out of this common grace. They live out of the saving grace and the authority that brings. Does anyone have any questions? Yes. Yeah. So if some of you didn't hear that, Andrew was talking about putting the word and prayer into action. I believe that if we spend more time in God's word and praying, it will spur us on. It will spur us on. But if we look at this generation and this society, we're quite lazy. We don't really have to work that hard. It's, you know, if we haven't got it, then why not? But I'm not going to work too hard to make anything more happen. Some of us might describe this generation as a throwaway generation, or if it doesn't speak to me or do something immediately, I just disregard it. I think that's worked a way into our spiritual life. We have. You know, if it doesn't come with a plastic film and you can't shove it in the microwave, then, you know, I'm not going to wait around for it. God demands our time. He demands our attention. He demands it. Because he's jealous for you. He wants you. That's why he demands of you, come to me, I want you. He's thirsty. Thirsty for you. Why? Because he's a nutter of grace. He's completely crazy about you. He is. But he's crazy about his word. Sweeping and moving. His kingdom coming. And he's chosen you to help do that. I absolutely agree. We need to activate the word. But that can't be just done in one sermon. We need to live it out and work it in. There's no point me just declaring, we're going to do this because I believe God has said it. And you're like, yay, yay, yay. What time's dinner? Oh, I've got to go and take the dog out, or the kid's got to get to school tomorrow, or I've got to go to the dentist, or I've got to sort out that bill. That's what you step into, isn't it? When you leave this building, you might ponder on it time and time again. I cannot take responsibility for you. I can't be responsible for your time. I can encourage you and I can stand up here and declare what I feel God is saying, but it's up to you to work that in and live it out and make your own choices. Some of you might disagree with me, that's fine. I'm pleased of that. I don't want just people to say, yes, Gavin. I want you to mull it over and say, and challenge me, but also challenge yourself. I'm not asking for a line of people saying, you said this, you are wrong. It's not my responsibility. You are your responsibility. Any other questions? Because does it make sense what I believe God is saying? And there is real intention, because I want to thrive and I want to see everyone else thrive in your anointing. Remember me talking about anointing this year? That I believe God has given you special gifts. And I want to see you thrive, not just for so we look good as a church, so you look good in front of the mirror when you look at yourself and say, I am saved by grace. I am living out what God has given me. I'm not being wasteful. But also the blessing and the change that can make on this community, in this city, in this nation. If we all start to live out of the anointing and that saving grace, you can make a real difference. You could be that spiritual statue that people not just look up to, but aspire to. I'm not saying you want to do it for affirmation. But I want people to see that Jesus is alive in me. I don't want to see me particularly. I want them to see Jesus and say, what has he got that I haven't? Simple, isn't it? But I do want to see the movement of God on Buttershaw. I am starting to get frustrated that we declare these things each week and I'm not sure how that's working out. Yes, we've had a great Christmas where we've seen lots of people come through the doors and things are moving. And I acknowledge that. You know, we're building better relationships. People feel more comfortable not just being in this building, but being with us. And that should be celebrated. It really should. But if they're going home and not being saved, then that frustrates me. If they don't know Jesus, then that worries me. It does, it eats away at me. Because I can feed 100 people and entertain people and be a bit funny and, you know, be welcoming. But that's not going to save their lives. Saving graces. I'm not looking to fill this church. I'm looking to fill heaven. That's what I want. I want people to be free. I'm tired of coming across too many people with no hope. And they're looking to me for hope. And I try my best. But it's Jesus who gives all hope. Not us. Not Gavin. Not Joel or Robert. We can do a little bit. But I'm not lying with them in bed. I'm not facing their problems in the morning. Yes, I'm on the end of the phone, but I don't know what's in their head. It's only Jesus. Jesus. So let me encourage you once more to reflect this week. If nothing more, ask yourself, am I surviving? Am I thriving? If you're thriving, brilliant. Tell someone else about it. Encourage them. If you're surviving, what are you going to do about it? I've suggested 45 minutes a day. That's only my, you might have something else. That's my suggestion. But don't live in a place of just survival. The truth has been given. It's been freely given. Freely receive it. Let me pray. God, we just thank you for your saving grace. Thank you that it is freely given. Thank you that Jesus came to give grace upon grace, that through his sacrifice, we can receive life and life to its full, that we are residents of heaven, that we have authority in the name of Jesus, that we have been given anointing, special anointing, to do certain things, to make a real difference in our lives and the lives around us. Lord, I pray for these group of people here this morning, that they would go out of this building feeling encouraged and feeling ready to not just be a passenger of this world, but actually start to live in a place of thriving, where they are above all problems and all situations, where peace reigns in their life, where hope governs, where they have vision and direction, where they have authority in the name of Jesus. God, I just ask that you continue to bless us. We thank you. We thank you. And we worship you because you deserve all the glory. All the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.